Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Tom, he's Larry, and Kevin's in with us today. So looks like we're going to be stirring it up today. Oh, we got some giveaways today, too.
Oh, you good bet. Deal, Lucille.
There you go.
There you go, Kevin. Call in.
You got, what are you giving away? What are you giving away?
Hanging baskets.
I was hoping he'd give away those five 50-pound bags of Back to Nature.
Actually, it'd be less expensive for us to do that. Mm-hmm. So we can cross out for you. We can cross out the hanging basket and put.
We'll let somebody else
and put
win.
Compost on there.
We'll let somebody else win.
Right,
it works.
We want our listeners to win.
Well, things are starting to emerge.
They were.
Well,
this week's gonna
that's
be,
just at your house, though. So.
This week's gonna be rough.
What is that, what's the weather going to do?
High of 50s.
Really?
That's it. Yes, Larry.
All 62, 62, 64, 62.
That's about normal.
Yeah. Rain every day.
Don't tell me that.
Well,
20% chance starting Tuesday and it never ends, my man.
Oh, look at that. Well, good God. Oh, well.
We just read it, Larry. We just
good thing.
Read it.
I need to get some ink oil for my boots then. So that
we just read it, Larry.
Maybe I use some motor oil on them. That'll keep the water away
That's
so my feet don't get wet.
We put diesel on our boots.
Then. Anyway, what's going on in the nursery this week? We got plenty of nandinas right now, dwarf nandinas. A lot of people are having trouble with their nandinas, and you go ahead and call, and we can advise you on how to deal with the trouble with your nandinas. Nandinas are probably one of the most, with the exception of red juncos, the most bulletproof plants you can have in the landscape. Because, number one, they have no diseases. Number mm-hmm. two, they have no insect problems. Mm-hmm. And number three, they can tolerate a wide variety of sunshine and soil types, too. So, they're good plants to have around. Use them for a little color accents and whatnot here and there. So, but this what? Zinger got them. I cut mine back 2 weeks ago, and they're starting to come back. They will come back.
What hawthorns do I have?
Indian
hawthorns. They don't look very good, Larry.
I know. They're at the northern limits here, and they can handle our typical weather.
Larry, what? This went all the way to the Rio Grande Valley.
This is not typical weather. So... Oh, yeah. If you play the law of averages, really, we had this one this year, and then the previous winters were average, it's fine. And then we had that one day where it was, what, I think?
26
absolute
below.
Zero or something. Oh. 400 below zero, something like that. And then we had typical. Then the plants got real soft around the middle, you know.
Kind of like we do.
Yeah.
Around the middle.
In good times, yes.
Tom quit being soft, though.
And then...
I'm firming up, man.
And then the plants got zinged again. But this was a two-week event.
I guess if I'd have gone out there and sprayed them all down with water before and got a coating of ice on them, it would have helped.
It would have helped your water bill. That's about it.
No.
They still would have gotten cold.
Well, it'd help or throw a bunch of hay, straw.
Yeah, if you were to cover them completely, yes.
It would. With what?
Whatever you got.
I mean, sheets or just...
Leaves. Leaves would work very well. Just go out in the field or hay would have worked great.
I know.
Some straw would have been beautiful. They'd have been just fine. I was at a house, the lower petalums here. Didn't make it in this town very well either. They froze out. Even mine froze out. But anyway, this guy, we planted a lower petalum in his backyard. And he's not much for maintaining his property. And the leaves piled up on it. And it's in bloom right now.
So,
everyone else are dead.
How'd the azaleas do through that?
They lost a lot of leaves, too. It looks a bit like a 747 took off in front of them.
Ooh,
but harsh. However, they are making a comeback.
They didn't kill them.
Nah. Just give them a little bit of time. Some of them have been set back also. The encore azaleas have been set back a little bit, too, but some of the established azaleas, if they were in trouble, they got set back. But if they were healthy, there's no problem. So it just depends on the individual condition where they are, how much wind they got, and how much moisture was in the ground. The moisture plays a big factor in these plants really surviving. Back in, when was it, 1790, when we had that cold spell?
2011.
Okay, back then.
10 years ago, we had about a 1 or 2 day zinger.
Right.
And when it was a zinger, no water was the record, and it still holds the state record for the lowest temperature ever in the history of the state, mm-hmm. which was 26 below. I think we were around 23 or 4 here.
Right.
I mean, I don't think my live oaks knew if it was 23 below or 26, but...
Yeah, there are polar bears in the backyard having a barbecue.
They I know. Yeah. So I don't think that really mattered, but anyway.
But that was a short-term thing. It didn't last.
But it was dry also.
It's dry also. The boxwoods took a real hit on that one.
My boxwoods look really good right now.
I know, but back in 2011, because it was dry. This time, there's plenty of moisture, and they're fine. They're just fine.
So I did get my chainsaw out, Larry, and I cut off the Chinese hollies.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they look like... They don't have a leaf on them anywhere.
We have some new ones.
But everything was green. All the wood was green.
Yeah, they'll come out. Don't worry about it. Your Nandines will come. Everything, basically everything will come out. With
not
exception
those,
maybe.
Not those northern hawthorns.
No, not the hawthorns. Probably not the Lord Petalums. And
I had
Raphiolepis.
They were beautiful. My northern hawthorns were just.
Yeah. They're really good plants. There's a niche for them in the landscape. There's a place for them. They don't get overly large. They have pink flowers, nice glossy leaves.
They did.
And here's their kind of their northern limits. A typical winter, no problem. You didn't have any problems with them until this happened.
But I've replaced several of them over the years, and now I think I'm done.
Oh,
no
man.
More, Larry.
No more
You're not
ones.
Selling me any more of those things.
Okay.
We're going to figure something else out.
The Carissa Holly.
Huh?
That's what you have in front by the gate, the Carissa Holly.
Yes. Okay, the other one that I'm a little concerned about, and I really like them, is the Pencil Holly. Is that
Sky
right?
Sky Pencil?
Sky Pencil Holly.
Uh-huh.
What about them?
They did fine. Most people had no problems with them.
Well, they don't have any leaves on them.
Well, then you'll have to get new ones.
Well... That's what I'm trying to say to you, Larry.
The sky pencil is a fastidiated form of the Japanese holly. The Japanese holly typically does very well in the conditions here.
Well, and we'll find out. I mean, there is some leaves coming out closer to the trunk of it.
Right. We really haven't had any consistent warm weather. No consistent warm weather yet. So a lot of the plants are just kind of
they hadn't woke
like
up
this.
Yet.
Is it safe?
Are we waking up?
Yeah, they're starting to wake up. I got plums on my plum tree now.
Really?
Lots of them.
I got to tell you,
golly,
though.
2021 is going to be a great year for plum jelly.
My peach trees are blooming.
Yay.
Right now. They didn't come out as early, but the pear trees did come out early. They may have got nipped.
We can apply for federal assistance.
Probably. I need some federal money for my pear trees. And my sky pencil hollies and
forget that.
We need some.
They're not covered.
They're not? Well, everything else is covered.
Well, sky pencil holly aren't.
Well, I mean, everything is covered in this country right now, it seems like.
Oh, I know, yeah. I got to get a manicure.
Anyway, so what else are we doing here, Larry?
Oh, golly. Yeah,
it's gonna be a really good year for the nursery, Tom. Did you know it?
Yeah,
lots of replacing.
Yes.
Well, really not so much replacement, but being patient about things. and waiting for it to come back.
They're not patient.
The advantage of the plants is if you have some that are died back, that have died back, rather, the advantage is you have a root system that will support some rapid growth on them. So they'll recover quickly. So if you pull that thing out and put a little 1 gallon plant in, the plant that was there will outgrow the 1 gallon plant because its root system is established.
So should I just take my hedge trimmers and cut those northern hawthorns down?
Just cut them down. I'll be listening too. I'll be out working in the yard tomorrow. I'll be listening.
So see if see what happens to them then.
Moo.
I got to tell you.
See what happens to them.
There was some snow, I guess, on the ground, and you can see about an inch or two up, the leaves are green.
Right. So they'll recover. The crepe myrtles, that's a different story. I see some
variability. Those are the toughest plant there is.
I know. I see some variability in their damage in the cold.
So just cut them off and they'll come back?
Not necessarily. Wait.
I put a bunch of mulch around those too.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens on those. I have one in front of my house. It's a big thing. It's like 2 stories tall.
Yeah.
And it's starting to come out at the ground, but it's green in the bark. So I'm going to wait for it to give it some more time.
Of course, they really don't come out till
another
month,
3 weeks or so. They'll be out blooming or leafing out. So don't do anything to your crepe myrtles yet. Just kind of wait on those and see where they come up. They'll come up from the bottom. The leaves will come out. Then they'll progressively make it up to the top.
So we know what my wife's Mother's Day gifts will be:
crepe myrtles and Indian hawthorns.
Whatever the yard needs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Send a picture to Larry. He'll fill the bill.
Yeah.
Now, the Bermuda grass is starting to grow. You do want Bermuda grass at your yard, right?
Yeah, but I killed a bunch of it last fall. Sprayed it with Roundup.
Uh-oh.
You didn't miss a strip this year, did you?
Well, I do have out in the one, but I got to tell you, Larry, after the Bermuda was dormant, I went out there in the outer yard that I have. Because the year before, you could see the strips. So I sprayed with Roundup again. Around the trees, I still have those pretty purple flowers, a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see exactly where I missed. That's the only time that the henbit is growing.
Right.
And so do it another year, and I'm going to get it this fall.
Yeah.
This fall, it is. They just as well.
I'm going to let mine grow so the north winds will blow it down.
Kiss it goodbye.
Friend of mine had a drone. He flew it over your house, and you had KP written in Roundup on your yard.
Anyway, it is. Look, the Bermuda is trying to come out, but where I sprayed it with Roundup, the yard portion that I wanted to kill, because I'm gonna put that in zoysia.
Ah, good choice.
So I'm gonna start establishing that zoysia.
Better put a turbocharger on your lawnmower.
Oh, I know.
It takes a good sharp blade. And
I've got diesel.
Well.
Diesel mowers.
Yeah. See a big cloud of black smoke. He's mowing his grass. Yeah.
Anyway. All right, Larry, we better take a break here.
Yes, all righty.
Tom, do you need a break?
Yes, we do.
Larry, we're glad you're in here, and lots of people got questions, and you can win hanging baskets. They got questions because, like me,
we get a lot of phone calls, people asking about their plants.
1-800-749-5936 is our toll-free number. We'll be back with more of the program after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. If you got a weekend project coming up, you can pick this up on Friday. You got 3 days. Get your project done without being in any type of a hurry. Bring it back on Monday morning, 1 day charge. It's a great deal at United Reynolds. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on you to get the job done. You can kind of do it at your own pace, especially being homeowners. You only pay the 1 day rental. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. And, of course, Larry Glass is here, our expert. You can talk to Larry at 1-800-749-5936.
Okay, fruit trees. A lot of them have gone past the bloom stage. Mm-hmm. It's time to start doing some maintenance applications, say, of some neem oil or some stuff to the to keep them from getting insects and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There are some organic alternatives to growing a vegetable or the fruit trees, and I implement those at my house too. So keeps them very good.
Let's get a call. Let's go.
All right, put them on.
Good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question or your comment?
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
A nice, beautiful morning. A little chilly.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Larry, I had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
A new a weed that's sprung up around the bushes. It comes up in long strands and it sticks together. You pull it up and it's just in real sticky,
yeah,
to each other, not on your hands, but long streamers of it. And I wondered what that is and what you do to get rid of it.
Okay, I know of that as stick tights.
Yeah, that sounds like
that's
a
what
good
they
description.
Are. Yeah, and it's an adaptive strategy the plant has developed to stick to animals and spread it around that way. So once you get it in there, it's real tough to get rid of it. I have it at my house; it's a big mess, and I pull it out and throw it in the trash. And found that to be the best way to kind of keep it under control. It's real easy to pull up. It doesn't have.
Yes, I noticed that, and that's what I've been doing, pulling it up like that, and it all comes up together.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems to be sprouting up around bushes and stuff where it's kind of hard to get to. And does it spread by blossoms, seedlings, or how does it spread, little pieces or what?
It spreads by seed. It has tiny, tiny little flowers. They're difficult to see. And when they come up...
Well, I never planted any of it.
Well, something brought it in, a bird or a possum or something brought it in from somebody else.
Never had it before, and it's just every year it seems like there's a new weed pops up.
Yeah, but those are stick tights, and you can use a pre-emergent herbicide in the mm-hmm. fall, in the fall next year, and that'll help keep it under control.
Okay, is it safe to spray around the bushes where it seems to gather?
Yeah, putting a pre-emergent will stop any subsequent weeds from coming up after you apply it. And timing is kind of important, so I would go ahead and do an application in the spring and the fall.
And well, thank you. It's a stick tight.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get your name down and put you in the running for a big old hanging basket we're going to give away.
What's your name, sir?
Paul.
Paul. All right.
Uh huh.
All right. Thanks for calling, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Got it. It's that easy. 1-800-749-5936.
Well, I know of them as stick tights. I don't know the genus and species, but it's an obnoxious weed. And they
one
stick,
of those.
And they stick tight, too.
They do.
What you do is just roll around the yard in a sweater, and it'll stick to it, then then pull it up. It has little tiny hairs on the leaves, uh-huh, and they're little tiny thorns, and they, you know the Velcro.
Mm-hmm.
The little, not the fuzzy part, but the other part.
Yep.
That's what it is, and it sticks to everything. Yeah. And that's a very good adaptive strategy on the part of the plant. You must admire it.
Mm-hmm.
for having a very effective means by which its seeds are spread around. So I don't know the genus and species of it. I didn't study weeds in college.
No,
but but my wife gave me that name. She had it out in Western Oklahoma, called them stick tights.
There you go.
Okay. So anyway, we talked about fruit trees a little bit.
Yep.
Some of them are budded out and setting fruit. My plums are setting fruit now, and getting ready to put the neem oil on them, and the spinosad on it to keep the insects under control. So we'll have some good quality jelly this year. If we don't have a hailstorm like last year, knock them all off.
Oh, goodness, no. It's not
anyway,
that.
So we're looking forward to that. And the cherry trees are still just a little bit in bloom. They're getting ready to come out of bloom. And I don't want to spray anything until the blooms are over. The reason is the bees. I was standing underneath the tree, and you can just hear it buzzing with bees. And you look up there, and there's all kinds of bees around there. So, okay, don't do anything to them now. Wait till all the flowering's done, and then you can start some control. Kind of what's going on with the fruit trees right now. You should have had them pruned back by now and all that. So too late.
So you don't have to worry about them now. Good gravy.
No, not really. So, and just keep them watered. You might keep the grass away from the edge of them, and maybe put a little ring of mulch around it, just so you don't hit it with the lawnmower, because that can cause some problems with fruit trees.
Oh yeah, you don't want to have any problems with that.
So anyway, so really. You just need to kind of make a judgment call as to whether or not they're still in bloom, which is pretty easy.
Take a look. Are they blooming? Okay,
not,
good.
Yeah.
If they're not, they're not.
But don't spray them until they're done blooming.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Vegetable garden this week. Almost time to plant those worm season seeds like beans and stuff. Mm-hmm. You missed the boat on peas. Should have done that in February, March. Of course, they would have frozen anyway.
You would have had bags of frozen peas by now.
And you might want to consider rotating what you planted last year. Yeah. In other words, don't put tomatoes in the same place two years in a row. And add a little gypsum and Epsom salts for your tomatoes, too. A lot of people are planting tomatoes. We're selling a ton of tomato plants.
Oh, and, yes, you are. We were there last weekend, and they were flying.
Okay.
Flying tomatoes.
Flying tomatoes, yeah. Ow. But anyway... So keep an eye on the weather.
Yes, please.
And if we have some consistent cool weather, which we're going to have some warm weather next week.
Some.
The leaves on the tomatoes, when they're out planted in the cold, tend to turn a purplish color.
Yes.
And that is primarily because when it's cold or cool, they can't take up potassium. And they don't grow very much, but the leaves turn purple.
Mm-hmm.
But you're getting some activity going in the root system.
Yeah.
So... don't worry about it. If they don't grow right away, and they probably won't when you plant them in the cooler weather, they won't grow very much. They will develop a root system still because the ground, I guess, will be fairly warm. I don't know. But and as soon as it warms up, they'll just take off.
Shoom. Just like
so,
that.
It's a little early. I sort of like to wait till May to plant tomatoes. But it doesn't hurt to get them in the ground early.
No.
But be aware of the weather, and you might have some means by which you can cover them in case of the cold.
Okay. Let's take a short time out, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener after this in 2 minutes.
What do you do if you really need a better vehicle, but you have bad credit? Come talk with your friends at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's not only has the ability, but also the desire to get anyone approved for a vehicle. They are your one-stop shop. They'll buy your old vehicle, help you find a great ride, and now help with financing, no matter how bad your credit is. Get more details from Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's, with financing for everyone.
Shop Peters True Value in Dewey for great bargains. Peters has Weber brand grills starting at $349 up to $999. Check out the Weber Spirit 2E210 LP gas grill for $349. For those who are serious backyard grillers, get the Weber Genesis 2 Smart Grill for $999 or the Weber Smokefire EX4 wood-fired pellet grill for $999. Save on these and other great bargains at Peters True Value in Dewey.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to smokybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936, and let's take a caller right now with Larry Glass and Company right here. Hi, good morning, you're on the air.
Yes, last year I bought some Shasta daisies from you,
mm-hmm.
which are perennials, right?
Yes.
Anyway, I put them in pots, and I haven't seen anything come up.
Mm.
Are they going to, what do you think they'll come up? I did cover them with leaves some,
right.
But that 2-week freeze kind of did everything in.
Right. Well, the advantage of them being perennials is they come up every year. However, the disadvantage is they don't like an extraordinarily cold root system. And putting it in a pot has the same temperature as the atmospheric air, which was really, really cold for a long time.
Yeah.
So I rather imagine they probably won't come back.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was hoping.
Well,
but it looks pretty. They
in,
look.
In a normal winter, they would have done just fine. But this was somewhat yeah. abnormal.
And actually, they were at least one of them was green before it came. You know, the cold came.
So yeah.
It zapped it.
Yeah. If you want to have pots like that, the perennials and pots, you want to do what we call dunking the pot. Put it basically in the ground, or maybe if it's going to get really cold, move it to the garage perhaps. But they will survive if the root system is not, because the root system is not developed to handle that kind of a temperature.
Right.
So they will make it if you dunk them in the ground.
Okay.
And your first name is?
Barbara.
Okay, Barbara. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And I think we have another caller on the line, so I am going to get to that right here. And let's go. Hi. Good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question or comment?
Yes, sir. I had a question. I recently moved to southern Missouri, and I have an area in my backyard, a good-sized area, that has clover growing in it.
Yes.
But I also have an issue with these chiggers. Jesus, I moved from Texas to Missouri, and I guarantee you one Missouri chigger could whip 100 Texas chiggers. They're terrible.
I want to do
something about the ticks and chiggers.
Uh-huh.
And in that particular area last year, I sprayed it, and man, I killed that clover, and there were so many bees out there, and I just hate myself for that. This year, I want to do something to where I can treat for those chiggers and ticks, but not mess with that the bees.
Right.
Is there something I can use out there to do that so I don't hurt those bees?
Yeah, there's something called neem oil. Now, chiggers are an insect, and the neem oil is a microbial but a natural form. And not only does it act to smother the insects when it hits them, but it also is a life cycle interrupter. In other words, it stops the metamorphosis of an insect. So
okay.
You could apply that. You have to apply it on a fairly regular basis, just like you would any other insecticide for chiggers, per
okay.
se. And the advantage...
And I would just spray it in a sprayer?
Uh-huh. You can use... The bees generally are not out during the cool of the day or at night or something. So
okay.
you can spray it at that point in time. And then the smothering effect of the neem oil is physiological. In other words, it smothers the insects and it dies because it can't breathe. So if
okay.
they're not there, that won't happen. The life cycle part has a similar mechanism. So I think
okay.
you'd be all right if you use some of that.
Okay. What about will that have any effect on the ticks or just the chiggers?
I'm not too sure about its effect on ticks, but they are insects, so You can give it a try. That'd be my choice. If you want to preserve some desirable insects, you need to use something that is not overly toxic like that. And give it a shot. It might work.
Let me ask you one final thing. Would using some sulfur, maybe some powdered sulfur, would that use the neem oil for the chiggers and then use the... Would sulfur help with those ticks at all, you think, some powdered sulfur?
I've not heard of its effect on ticks, no.
Okay. Well, hey, listen. I'll give that neem oil a try. I appreciate it, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And your first name is?
Michael.
Okay, Michael, thank you for calling.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. And, of course, you can be the next caller up here if you'd like. And that is 1-800-749-5936.
Neem oil also makes a pretty good fungicide, too.
It does.
It's a natural kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we sell a ton of it at the nursery. Golly. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, lawns, yes.
Yes.
Bermuda grass and zoysia grass is beginning to grow right now. Mm-hmm. So you want to do that initial fertilization. That is one with a fairly even ratio to it, like a 10, 20, 10, or 13, 13, 13, or something like that. But anyway, look at the numbers, and they should be fairly close to each other on the fertilizer bag. And go ahead and get that ready for the summer. Mm-hmm. What that does is it encourages stolen growth. Now, both the zoysia and the Bermuda grass mm-hmm. have stolons on them, and it helps promote that. The phosphorus helps to promote that. And then next month, you start with your monthly nitrogen applications until mm-hmm. Late August. Fescue grass, go ahead and put the nitrogen on that. And you want to start mowing it higher as this and next month progress. Because it is a cool season grass, and it needs that surface area to... We got a caller?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Put them on.
Well, we'll do that here in just a second. Going through the screener right now.
Oh. Anyway, you need that length of the grass blade mm-hmm. in order for it to keep cool in the heat.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program.
Thank you. I've got a question. I understand that Epsom salts should be put on tomatoes plants when you plant them. How much should you use?
Well, I don't know. We have some containers of... magnesium sulfate at the nursery, which is the same thing. And it's got has ingredients or the instructions on it, really. But it doesn't take a whole lot. Magnesium is a trace element. And it also lowers the pH a little bit, too.
I had a big bag of it I bought this year for another purposes, and I thought I'd get rid of it.
Oh, okay. Epsom salts?
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Well, sort of sprinkle it around, say, like you would do fertilizer or something. Not too heavy. Don't overdo it.
Okay, not too heavy.
Not too heavy.
Thank you very much.
And your first name is?
Opal.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program and your calls at 1-800-749-5936 right after this two-minute timeout.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
K-1 loves birthdays. Each morning we announce all area birthdays, and one name is chosen to receive a certificate for a birthday meal. From Dink's Pit Barbecue, Rita's Cocina Mexicana, or Sterling's Grill. If you or someone you know has an upcoming birthday, give us a call. 918-336-1001 and give us the details. We'll announce their name and maybe choose them as our daily winner at our K-1 Birthday Club.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey del Burrito Express, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
Today is going to be a good day.
I love listening to your broadcast. I've always listened to you. You guys are awesome.
and I just wanted to say I'm so happy to have found your show.
Today is gonna be a good day.
K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
A good day!
And online at bartlevilleradio.com.
It is 8:44, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis, 1-800-749-5936. That'll get your call on the air. Larry, where are we
here? Now, getting back to the lawns right soon now. that crabgrass will be coming up right soon. When the nighttime temperatures get consistently above 55 degrees, which we don't have that this week. It's going to be in the 40s all week.
Yeah.
So you still got time for crabgrass control. Mm-hmm. So, and as time progresses, it'll start to come up, but not all of it comes up at once. So you can lessen the infestation.
Comes in waves, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to the telephones here. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You are on with the Green Country Gardener. Good morning.
Yes, I heard you talking about the crepe myrtles.
Yes.
I pruned mine good last year, and I wasn't going to prune them back this year. Will that go ahead and come out at the top?
I rather doubt it, the way the weather was.
Oh.
So you probably have to go back to where you did last year. What you can do, you can predict the point with which they will come out by taking a thumbnail or a pocket knife and lightly scratching the bark. And you start at the top and work your way down. It'll be brown in color underneath the bark. And you keep going down inch by inch until you hit the green part. And that's typically where it comes out, is at that green part underneath the bark.
Okay. Back in whenever we had that 31 below, it froze to the ground.
Right.
But this year, I was hoping it wouldn't do that.
I don't think it will, because we had good moisture in the ground at that point. However, they are going to be killed back to a point. So
okay.
You can...
And I lost all of my mums. Some were in big pots, and the other were in the ground, and they all froze.
Yes. I've seen some, actually, in some people's chrysanthemums, they're already getting too tall. This is next to a fence that faced west, though, by a pool. So they had plenty of concrete and fence to keep it warm. But anyway, so for the most part, the mums will make it. So perhaps in your
situation. Well, I had a clematis right next to it, and it's just all greened up and ready to bloom.
Right.
The freeze didn't hurt it.
No, not really. They die back a lot anyway in the winter, so we're kind of used to it, but...
All right.
But anyway, watch the mums. Maybe they're in an area where it doesn't get a lot of sunshine, perhaps.
Okay.
And maybe they're just a little late coming up, perhaps.
Yeah. Then I have my raised beds where I put my tomatoes.
Yes.
And all along the back side is this weed, some kind of little green stuff. Could I use round? I've got my tomatoes in pots. I haven't put them out yet.
Right.
Can I spray Roundup along there, and it won't hurt the tomatoes?
Yeah, just keep it away from the tomatoes.
Okay.
So you might.
So I'll do that now, and then.
Yeah.
Then put my tomatoes out in a few days later.
Yeah, a few days later, it'll be okay. But don't say the word Roundup near your tomatoes.
Right.
All you have to do is say it, and they'll get killed off.
Okay.
In other words, they're extremely sensitive.
Roundup.
The Roundup,
right.
Yeah. So,
my husband didn't like for me to use it at all, but I just can't get that out because there's a fence behind that big
railroad tie. One thing with Roundup is, first of all, you want to spray it on a still day. And number two, any Roundup that touches the ground is ineffective. So you really don't want to use a drench. You just want to spray the foliage with kind of a fine spray.
Okay.
Because once it hits the ground, it's no good. It doesn't. It only works through leaf absorption.
Mm. Oh, good. So it can't travel in the dirt.
Well, if you don't get it in there, it won't. But yeah, use kind of a fine mist and a still day, and like I said, every drop that hits the ground is just wasted. So
okay.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks for. Oh, your first name.
Oh, Judy.
Judy. Okay, Judy. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you very much. And that leaves the line open for you at 1-800-749-5936.
Okay. We talked about lawns a little bit. Mm-hmm. We talked about Bermuda grass and mm-hmm. zoysia. And we just touched on fescue. Mm-hmm. You still want to do your monthly applications of fertilizer on fescue. I go to a lot of people's yards. And I was at a house yesterday. The neighbor's grass is beautiful and green. His grass looked like a bunch of cattle stomped on it.
Oh.
And, well, not that bad. Mm-hmm. It was yellow. Same grass, same species of grass. But they have a different application company doing it.
I see.
So you want to make sure on that. You should have some, your fescue grass should be absolutely gorgeous right now. Dark, beautiful dark green color, nice and full and thick. Because it's a cool season grass that likes this weather. Mm-hmm. So if it's not greening up, perhaps you might have something wrong, either with the soil chemistry or maybe lack of fertilizer. Now, I say soil chemistry. You want to do a soil test on your fescue grass. This particular lawn was in an area where the native indigenous species prior to the houses being there was oak trees. And so the pH was a little bit more likely, a little bit low in that area mm-hmm. than what we typically expect. Say, down at my house, the pH is like 10, whatever. But that's worse than than ammonia. But anyway, so but in this case, it had all the symptoms of being too low in pH. You put down fertilizer, it just simply doesn't grow. So perhaps a soil test is definitely needed.
All righty, let's go to the phones here real quick. Good morning and welcome. You're on the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry. Your question or comment? All right.
You know about Limelight hydrangeas. I'd like to purchase them this year, and I wondered, there's a new variety, I think, called Prime. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about the care of those plants?
Hydrangeas. Hydrangeas, as the first three letters of the name imply, they need a fair amount of water to begin with. Also, when you plant them, you dig a hole in the ground, but you don't want to just dig a hole for hydrangeas. You want to do something at least the size of a bushel basket around them and put a significant amount of peat moss and or compost in there, depending on your soil type. Mm-hmm. And then when you plant them, you want to put a fair amount of mulch on the surface just so the moisture level stays constant. And you might also want to invest in a big old jar of Miracle-Gro because they have to be fertilized on a regular basis, too. So once all those criteria are met, you should have some pretty good luck. Now, as far as sunshine is concerned, they do prefer some dappled light or a little bit of direct sunlight during the day. Then they should do fine.
Okay, great. Do I cut them back every year, or are they good?
Yeah, in this neck of the woods, we sort of like to wait till the winter's over with and the leaves start to emerge. And you cut them back to the point where the leaves are emerging on the stem.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And your first name is?
Jennifer.
Jennifer. Okay, Jennifer. Thank you for calling.
All righty.
Thank you.
And that's the way we do it right here at the Green Country Garden.
When we plant hydrangeas, we bring the plant. It takes up about 25% of the truck, and the rest of it's tied up in compost and dirt and stuff. And then you plant them that way, and you do fine.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, in December 1935, he invited Elliot Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Willow Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo, so Frank gave him a rifle and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliot Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner, when finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, But Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Woolerock, just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Woolerock.
Building healthy relationships is often a difficult, lifelong process, but you can find health and hope in just 1 minute. Focus on the Family Minute is sound marriage, parenting, and personal growth advice from today's leading experts, plus encouragement and insight from your favorite authors and Christian personalities. Focus on the Family Minute. It could change your day, your perspective, maybe even your life.
Brought to you by Grace Community Church, weekday mornings at 740 on 1400 K1.
Well, they're talking about plants, the grapevine. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. And, Larry, we've got a lot of folks who've been calling in for our prizes today. A couple of folks are going to get a hanging basket.
Right. What to do with my roses right now?
Yeah.
Bud growth is coming on the roses at this point. Now you want to prune out any winter damage tips. We have a lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. Remove all the fallen leaves. You want to get all those fallen rose leaves away from it because they just harbor diseases.
Mm.
So you want to get those away as much as possible. And time to plant the new ones, too, if they didn't make it. But anyway.
And we know where to get them, don't we?
We've got some. Right now, we don't have a whole lot. We've got some Grand Champions, and we have some the drift roses right now.
Yeah.
They're just sort of coming in. A couple of Julias, too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this kind of all we really carry in the roses, but we'll have plenty of drift, and there's some knockout roses too. Don't give up on the knockouts. Maybe this winter will do away with this nasty disease we've been getting with them. So
golly, I hope so.
Yeah, some people go ahead and plant them, enjoy them and everything else. If you get the disease, well, so what? You had all these flowers for a long time.
You did.
So anyway. So you do want to begin, if you do have the standard hybrid teas, you want to begin spraying them right away too. Because we'll get fungus and insects coming on the roses.
Fungus among us, you know what?
Exactly. Trees right now, the dogwoods should be making a really good show at this point. You want to prune out winter damage tips, remove all the fallen leaves and clean up, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, you might want to consider planting some new ones, new dogwoods and new Japanese maples. We've got a great selection of Japanese maples right now. And they're really coming. They're very, very cold hardy. They said, what cold?
What cold?
Get out of here. It wasn't cold. What's the matter with you guys? So anyway, the Japanese maples are leafing out and they're exhibiting some really, really good spring color right now. They like this cool weather. And they have a lot of really nice extended, newly emerging maroon colored leaves when it's cool like this. So they should do really quite well for some time. The maple trees are coming out too. We've got a good selection of some big maple trees if you're interested in some of those too. Mm-hmm. And we have some really nice brand new big old dogwoods too. So stuff's coming in. We're getting it ready.
I tell you what, you got a great customer base, and I will tell you, they just love going there no matter what you got, Larry.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get a bigger parking lot one of these days. Good gravy.
Well, we have a loop road goes all the way around it.
It does, okay.
So you can put a lot of cars in there. So we got plenty of room for parking.
Okay.
So.
I just didn't see it when I was there. I was fortunate. Okay. We got right up front. That was kind of cool.
Right. I'm right in the middle of a busy season on landscape plants, too.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we do those. I've got a couple of presentations today on some landscape plans that I've done.
Great.
So anyway, first of all, in a landscape plan, you got to recognize the fact that you have a problem with your landscape. It just doesn't look good.
Admitting the problems has the battle.
So instead of, a lot of people when they come home, I'm guilty of that too. You just drive up, you open the garage door, go in and go in the house.
Yep.
Don't even look at it. So.
Meanwhile, the neighbors are.
I mean, yeah.
Oh boy, they're taking notes.
Look what you're doing to my property value.
Oh, eyesore.
You're in trouble now. But anyway, you got to kind of know there's a little bit of a problem with your landscape. And I just come out. I got some people I got to see today. We're just going to look at it and sort of say, well, you need this and this and this. you don't have to really go all out with a landscape plant. I can come by and show you what's going on with that, too.
Very good.
So anyway, that's coming up. Sprinkler systems, a good time to get that started. We started up a few and found some with some problems in the cold. And we found most of them without problems, really. If it was installed properly, you don't have much of a problem. And I was at a house yesterday and turned on the sprinkler system and ran through it, and it survived the winter without any problem. A few little heads were turning here and there, but other than that, they're in pretty good shape. So,
good.
So anyway, for the sun part, most of the sprinkler systems did pretty well for the winter.
Great.
But it's a good. You need to get it looked at. You need to turn it on and run through it just to make sure everything's okay, because it did get really, really cold.
And you won't know the damage till you turn it on and take a look.
Exactly. So, yeah, sometimes that damage is buried, too. So we found some of that also.
Ooh.
But anyway, we had, three people winners today?
Two.
Two people, okay. Yeah, yep. We threw these names down the hall, and looks like Michael and Jennifer.
Michael and Jennifer are the winners.
Called in, each of you want a hanging basket at Green Thumb Nursery. Come by the radio station and pick up the coupon and bring it by the nursery.
Right there at the front desk. Come up the steps. There you go.
Yeah.
We'll have it right there for you.
Anyway.
Not the hanging basket. The coupon for it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Larry takes care of
it. I can see how you guys would take care of a hanging
basket. Yeah, wouldn't last a day.
It won't last long here.
Yeah. Good gravy.
Anyway, come by the nursery and check out our wide selection of begonias and periwinkle. Well, no, too early for periwinkles. Mm-hmm. But a good selection of annuals. The petunias are coming in too. The sun patients are out looking really, really nice. Mm-hmm. We have a great crop of geraniums this year. Yep. Really, really. And they're just flying out the door. Lots of color. And when you come by, just say hello, if anything. And keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week. Tom, have a good one.
You too. You've been listening to the Green Country Gardener Program. Stay tuned. Our news is coming up next.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.